everyone! My name is Rebecca, and welcome to Studio Classroom, the place where we talk about exciting things. So today, our lesson is called 8 Unwritten Rules of Job Searching. Can you guess what this lesson is all about? Exactly! It's all about the rules you should follow when searching for a job. Did you know that there are 8 unwritten rules? I definitely didn't know that. So, what are these rules? Well, we are going to be discussing these 8 rules over the next several days. The first rule that we are going to talk about today is be organized. That sounds like an easy rule, but it might be more difficult than one expects. The second rule is don't be afraid to ask and make it easy to say yes. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's get started with our first reading.
Eight unwritten rules of job searching. Things to consider when looking for a job. You're ambitious, hardworking, and smart. Your resume is polished, your cover letter is relevant, and you're networking. Yet you're still getting rejected from every job you apply for. Sound familiar? If so, you may be ignoring one of these unwritten rules of job searching. Number 1. Be organized. Use a label for all job search-related emails. Use a program like SpringPad or Excel to track all the positions and organizations you're interested in.
Hi, welcome to Language Lab. 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们来看 polished 这个形容词，它原来是 polished。 修改润色这个动词的过去分词，当形容词是指完美的或者是精良的。例如 ，His polished performance won him an Oscar. 他完美的演出让他赢得了奥斯卡金像奖。Polished 也指磨光的或者是光滑的。例如 ，Be careful when you walk on this polished floor. 当你走在这个打亮的地板上面，一定要小心。 接下来我们看的是 relevant 这个形容词 ，relevant 在这里是指相关的、切题的或者是适宜的。例如 ，this issue is relevant to the topic of our meeting， 这个议题和我们会议的主题相关，或者是 the curriculum the school offers is relevant to life beyond graduation， 这个学校所提供的课程是毕业之后出社会可以派得上用场的。它的反义词是至少加上 ir 变成 irrelevant。 例如 ，Let's not waste time discussing these irrelevant details. 我们不要浪费时间讨论这些不相关的细节。
Everybody, my name is Gabe, and we're learning about 8 unwritten rules of job searching today. Now, before we talk about these unwritten rules, let's talk about that job search process. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've looked for a job before. Maybe you've looked for many. Maybe you've gone from job to job and you had to go through the job search process many times. Well, I'm sure that you have a lot to talk about. Practice talking about that in English. Rebecca, tell me about your experience job searching.
Well, right after I graduated from college, of course, it was time to look for a job. And so the first thing that I needed to do was customize my resume and, of course, customize the cover letter. And a cover letter is very important to include with your resume when mm-hmm. applying for a job.
Okay, so those are very important words that are related to the job search process, right? The cover letter, customizing that, that's one of the words you'll read about in our lesson. And, of course, your resume. And those are things that everyone knows that they should do. You could call those the written rules or the official rules of a job search. You know that you need to have a resume to present to your next employer.
Exactly, but today we're talking about the 8 unwritten rules of job searching. And what's an unwritten rule? Well, that's just a rule that's not written down or spoken of, but you just know that it's a rule. And so let's talk about some other unwritten rules. Gabe, do you have any other examples of unwritten rules?
Well, yes. Maybe things that aren't written down. Let's see.
Oh, yes.
One I know of.
What's that?
In the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I know we don't usually talk about the bathroom here at Studio Classroom. Now, there's a toilet paper roll, and there's the thing that holds the toilet paper, and some people get very upset when there's no new toilet paper roll on that holder, okay? And so that's an unwritten rule. They say as soon as you finish using one toilet paper roll, you should switch it with another. They think that's an unwritten rule.
Well, obviously, Gabe, if you're the last one, or you're the person who uses the last bit of toilet paper, of course, you should replace that roll with new toilet paper. Great example.
That's right. You know, of course, so it's not an official roll. I'm not going to get in trouble if I don't. But it's something that most people would like you to do.
Well, here's another unwritten rule. In America, you should take off your hat when singing the national anthem. It's not really written down. It's just something everyone knows to do.
And you know, it's interesting. I think the rules are different in every country, the unwritten rules included. So, for example, in the United States, you shouldn't stare at people in public.
Yes.
That's an unwritten rule. But, of course, if you go to some other countries, it's totally okay just to keep looking at somebody.
Exactly. Or, you know, here in Taiwan, I've noticed when riding the elevator, you should stand on the right and leave the left side open so people can pass by or if they want to walk up the elevator.
Oh, you mean escalator.
Escalator.
That's
right. Escalator.
Elevators go up and, of course, escalators go diagonally
exactly.
up and down. So, of course, those are unwritten rules. Well, let's move on in our lesson here about eight unwritten rules of job searching. These should be very helpful. We read, you're ambitious, hardworking, and smart. Does that sound like you? Of course it does. Your resume is polished, your cover letter is relevant, and you're networking. What does that word relevant mean?
That's a great question, Gabe. That just means that it's connected with what is happening or it's very suitable. For example, you could say, you can ask any question you want as long as the question is relevant to the topic.
And speaking of topics,
yes.
If you're giving a speech, you want to choose a speech that is relevant to your audience. So if you're giving a speech to a group of old men, don't choose the topic of makeup. That's not relevant. Maybe you want to share with them about health care. That's a relevant topic.
Exactly. Now, I have a question for you all. What are different ways that you can narrate literature? That's actually a really good question that the guys in the InfoCloud would like to answer.
The way we write from a particular point of view is called literary narration. Sometimes we'll come across an essay or a short story that directly talks to you, the reader.
The essay or story might open by saying, you are ambitious, hardworking, and smart. The style of writing is called second-person narrative.
By using second-person narrative, the writer makes the reader, you, feel as if you're a character within the story.
Now, second-person narrative is just one form of literary narration. The most common narrative is third-person narrative. This is where the he-she form is used, as in, he walked down the street, or she picked up the phone.
In newspapers, textbooks, and encyclopedias, the text is often written in the third person.
And, of course, there's the first-person narrative, and that is writing from the I point of view, as in, I walked down the street. I picked up the phone. We often use first-person narration in novels. So the next time you write a composition, try using a different form of literary narration. You might be pleasantly surprised by the result.
我们先来讨论 literary narration 文学的叙述观点。如果一篇文章一开始作者就直接用 you 来称呼读者，那就是所谓的 second person narrative 第二人称的叙述方式，你就成为作品中的一个角色。而最常见的叙述方式呢，是 third person narrative， 第三人称。教科书、百科全书几乎都是用 third person narrative， 另外还有 first person narrative， 第一人称，那是小说中比较常用的手法。所谓第一人称，就是以 I 我作为叙述者，我可能是故事的主角，在交代一些事情，或是回忆曾经发生过的事。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you guys. All right, so now you know how to narrate a story in different ways. Well, let's continue here. We read, yet you're still getting rejected from every job you apply for. Okay, so you think you're doing everything right. You have your cover letter, your resume is polished, and yet you're still getting rejected. What does that mean, Rebecca?
If you're being rejected, well, that just means that you apply for a job, but then you don't get the job.Now, that could be kind of discouraging.、
Mm-hmm.
Well, our lesson says, does that sound familiar or sound familiar? If so, you may be ignoring one of these unwritten rules of job searching, which we are going to talk about right now. So, Gabe, what is the first rule?
All right, here's our first unwritten rule. Be organized. Well, that sounds pretty straightforward, right? I mean, it sounds pretty clear.
Of course.
You should be organized. I think people like it.When you're organized, and it can help you if you are organized. And what do we read about this here?
It says, use a label for all job search-related emails. Use a program like SpringPad or Excel to track all the positions and organizations you're interested in. Now, there's a great word that we would like to talk about in that sentence, and that is to track.
That's right. If you're tracking something, you're keeping track of it.You're keeping a record of something, and you're, maybe you could say you're tracking the progress. That's one way that we use this word track. You track the progress.
Exactly. You could also say some people like to track how many steps they walk every day, or maybe you're training for a race or a half marathon, which I am doing. Some people like to track how many kilometers they run.
Okay, so then they can know exactly how many they run. You can keep track of something, and you can see how much you have improved over time. Scientists track things all the time. For example, the scientists track the movements of the whale to maybe see what kind of things this whale will do, and maybe these movements can help tell the scientists something about the whale.
Exactly. Well, we still have more to learn about these unwritten rules right after this. Hello, friends. So, what's an unwritten rule? Do you remember? Exactly.It's a rule, but it's just not written down. Well, right now, we're in the middle of a very interesting lesson called 8 Unwritten Rules of Job Searching. I didn't realize that there were so many unwritten rules of searching for a job. Well, we have already learned one of the rules, be organized. So, if you're organized, you may have mastered the first unwritten rule of searching for a job.Well, I think it's time to learn another rule in our next reading.
Eight unwritten rules of job searching. Number 2. Don't be afraid to ask and make it easy to say yes. Make it easy for your contact to qualify your request and help you.Be specific and strategic about the people and or organizations you want them to connect you with or the advice you're asking for. Write introductory emails or talking points they can easily forward along and make sure you aren't asking for too many things at once. And if someone is unable to help, don't hold it against them. People have to preserve their network and reputation.They can't introduce their powerful contacts to every person they speak with.
Alright, 接下来我们看的是 qualify 这个动词 qualify 是指使有资格 或者是使有权利 例如 the training will qualify students to enter the next level 这个训练让学生可以晋升到下一个阶段 qualify 也指合格 或者是符合资格 例如 after years of studying Samuel qualified as a doctor when he was 30 经过数年的寒窗苦读 Samuel 在30岁的时候取得了医生执照 所以我们看的是 introductory 这个形容词 它的动词是 introduce I-N-T-R-O-D-U-C-E 意思是介绍 所以形容词 introductory 是指引导的或者是介绍的 例如 the introductory art class covers western art history 这堂艺术入门课程会介绍西洋艺术史 或者是 the professor made some introductory remarks before he started his lecture 这位教授在授课之前先做了开场白 And now let's get back to our teachers
All right, here's our next unwritten rule It is don't be afraid to ask and make it easy to say yes I think maybe this is a rule here It's listed here because often people are afraid to ask questions They think that if they ask a question It means maybe they're stupid or maybe they should already know the answer And so they're afraid to ask that question.
I think you're absolutely right, Gabe. But one thing I've learned, when you're in a job interview, oftentimes the person who's interviewing you likes when you ask questions. And so you should always go to an interview with several questions prepared. Well, let's see how our lesson continues. We read, make it easy for your contract to qualify your request and help you. That's interesting.
Okay, so to qualify your request, that means they can know more about how to think about your request. And it's good. That's why you need to have good questions prepared, so that they know exactly what you want from this company. We read on, be specific and strategic about the people and or organizations you want them to connect you with. Let's stop here and talk about that word strategic. All right, this is a very good word. It's important to be strategic in life, and that means to do things carefully and really thought out, to really consider every move that you make.
Exactly. Now, when I hear this word strategic, I often think of that fun, exciting game, Capture the Flag. I used to play that a lot when I was a kid. When you are playing the game Capture the Flag, you need to be very strategic about where you take your flag and hide it. Because, of course, you don't want the other team to find it too easily.
And speaking of capture the flag, you also need to be strategic about who runs after the flag first.
That's
Maybe
right.
sometimes someone will run over so that they might be able to draw the other people to them. And then you have a chance to sneak from behind and go and capture that flag. That is a fun game. Another game that involves strategy. Strategy is the noun here. Another fun game that is very strategic is the game of chess, or Chinese chess.
Exactly. So those are some great games that you have to be very strategic while playing. Well, anyway, remember, our lesson says be specific and strategic about the people and or organizations you want them to connect you with, or the advice you're asking for. Mm-hmm. Well, the next sentence we read, write introductory emails or talking points that can easily that they can easily forward along. Now let's pause for a moment and talk about this word introductory.
Okay, so this is the adjective form of an introduction, right? Mm-hmm. So an introductory email is when you're introducing yourself and you're telling somebody about yourself. Now there are other ways you can use this word. For example, maybe you're taking a class at university. And you have to take many classes about business, but first, of course, you need to take the introductory course. Often in the West, that might be called Business 101. If you see the numbers 101 behind the name of a course, that's an introductory course.
And talking about introductory courses or classes, maybe you're in a class and there's a guest speaker that's going to come. Before the speaker comes, the teacher would like to give a few introductory remarks.
Okay, so an introductory remark might be introducing that speaker, saying something special about that person. Okay, and make sure, we read here, make sure you aren't asking for too many questions at once. If you do something at once, Usually it's doing a lot of things at once, and that means to do it at one time.
Exactly. So, for example, you could say, they all started talking at once. Or at the end of the party, everyone left at once.
And, of course, we read on here, and if someone is unable to help, don't hold it against them. What does it mean to hold something against somebody? That is a good question. Let's take a closer look at this phrase with Liz.
How are you, friends? My name is Liz, and please join me as we take a closer look at this sentence. And if someone is unable to help, don't hold it against them. Our focus today is on the phrase to hold against. Normally, to hold something means to keep something with your hands, like he is holding a cup of coffee. But to hold against means to think badly about someone because of something they did or didn't do. So today's sentence just means if someone is unable to help you, don't be angry at them. Now, to hold against or to hold something against is often used to describe a situation where person A blames person B for something, often to the point of not forgiving. For example, let's say you have a friend who is very sensitive and gets mad easily. So you can say, if you forget to do what she says, she will for sure hold it against you. Or let's say your friend is worried because he's unable to solve a problem for you. So you can say, I won't hold it against you just because you aren't able to solve this problem. That's it for now. See you later.
Thank you, Liz. So remember, if someone is unable to help, don't hold it against them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because people have to preserve their network and reputation.
That's right. They have to protect their network. They have to protect their reputation. And we read another reason here. They can't introduce their powerful contacts to every person that they speak with. So if someone is unable to help you, it doesn't mean they don't like you. It's just that they can't do everything that you need for them. So don't hold it against them.
Exactly. Well, so far, we have learned about two unwritten rules. Be organized and don't be afraid to ask and make it easy to say yes. Well, right now, it's time to review today's lesson with Linda in the editor summary.
We're going to start talking about the 8 unwritten rules of job searching in today's world. You're networking and you have a relevant cover letter and your resume is polished, but you're still getting rejected from jobs you're applying for. What's wrong? Well, perhaps you are not paying attention to the unwritten rules of job searching. The first is you really have to be organized. Label all job searches and search emails. Track all positions and organizations that you're interested in. Second, don't be afraid to ask and make it easy to say yes. For example, be specific and strategic about the advice you're asking for or who you want them to help you connect with. Don't ask for too much at one time. And if someone can't help you, don't hold it against them because they have to preserve their network and reputation too.
Thank you, Linda. Well, I really like that first unwritten rule to be organized. I'm not usually an organized person, but I do notice a difference when I am organized.
Well, I really liked the second rule, don't be afraid to ask, because I like to ask questions. Well, anyway, friends, I hope that you'll join us tomorrow as we continue this exciting lesson.
We'll see you next time right here at Studio Classroom.